Okay. Welcome back. Another week, and more information keeps coming out. There is a subject we've touched on a number of times, Erica and I, in the last 3 years now, and it has to do with the idea of quality control. In other words, these bioweapons, they're depopulation weapons. They're weapons designed to kill people. That's what they do. And you know how good they are at it. But the idea of producing enough material to inject into about 6 billion people with over 13 billion total injections, that's a lot of material to be squirting into people's arms. So who's producing that material? And how much quality control is actually being used? Where's the oversight in terms of purity of product? Now, we know the product is a success. We know it's deployed. We know it's not an experiment in any fashion. But how much care really goes into the production of this material that is injected into people? That's a big question. We don't have an answer. Is it just to get the spike in there, the mRNA, and a couple of other things, and then they don't give a damn what else is in the mix? Could be. That's possible. We don't know. There is this issue of plasmids we talked about 2-3 weeks ago. That's a big one. We're going to do a little bit more discussion tonight about that. So, Erica, how about quality control? Once they get their primary ingredients of death in there, do they really care about any other debris and dirt and garbage that's in there? Why should they? If they get the primary kill weapons, the kill shot, delivered, what else is in it? Shouldn't matter much to them, I wouldn't think. They're not out to perfect some perfectly constructed injectable material, clean as a whistle. They don't care. And with that many injections, I think all the more reason to suspect they really just don't care. I don't know. How do you see it? Welcome back, by the way. How you been?
Thank you.
What have you been doing? What did you have for dinner?
Oh, I haven't had dinner.
Well, come on. People are going to accuse me of working you too hard here.
No, that's right. Okay. I'm living on air.
I know the story. A breatharian.
Right.
All right.
Well, yeah.
So what are we doing? QC.
This looks like sloppy, careless, negligent manufacturing. You could argue that some of these things are in there intentionally. The DNA being in there in that amount, approximately 30% of the nucleotides that are in that are DNA, either single strand or linear or plasmid, which is the circular DNA that can be taken up by bacteria and can be taken up by your cells as well. But the fact that there's so much of it in there, it looks like they didn't even make an effort to get it out. Now, that is in there. It's part of the production process when they go to amplify the gene of interest, make copies of it so that they can purify that and put it into a vaccine. That's what they should have been doing, but apparently they aren't doing it. And is that intentional? Now, it was found both in the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccines, both in the original monovalent versions of the vaccine and now this bivalent version. So they're not, if they're aware of it, they're not even attempting to clean it up. So that makes you think, is it there intentionally?
That's a real question. And when I suggested originally, they just didn't care. Once they get their primaries in there, then the manufacturers of these injectables just don't care about whatever debris might be in there. Or do they really care about the debris that's in there? And that extraneous material might, in fact, be part and parcel of the kill shot. Maybe one of the primary components. We don't know.
It's not good. The consequences of having that in there are very profound. The linear strands of DNA can be readily uptaken by your cells, human cells, and be integrated into the DNA at you know, causing mutations. And the danger is that if it integrates near in the area of a oncogene, you could very well develop cancer. It's random where it would integrate. There's nothing to tell it where it should go. It would be just random. And then the other side of it is that the bacteria that colonize your intestinal tract and your skin, mucous membranes, can also uptake this bacterial DNA, the plasmids. And then you've got a permanent source of spike protein or whatever other proteins are in there. Now, there's proteins in there or genes in there to confer antibiotic resistance, which that could have fairly dire consequences. And there's also an SV40, simian virus 40, promoter in there. Not the full virus, but the promoter part of it, which would amplify the production of whatever protein is being produced.
So the plasmids, just to keep it simple, as we've explained before, are delivered into your body by the LNPs. That's primarily how these DNA plasmids get there. And it's part of the overall killer package. It's a very important part. It's like a triad. That's the third part. We got the spike, we got the mRNA, now we have the plasmids, which apparently get into E. coli bacteria, that's one of their favorites, a particular strain of E. coli, and begin to do what? These DNA plasmids begin to have the bacteria produce the mRNA instructions. The instructions,
and possibly even the spike itself.
And maybe
I believe it's the spike.
Right. But at least we have a reason to believe that something is producing mRNA in your body. It's not just injected and that's the end of it and it's gone. There's some way to replicate it. And it may well be in the bacteria that they're replicating the mRNA and the spike.
Yep.
So keep that in mind, everyone. If you're injected, some people will say, well, I'm just going to wait it out and my body will take care of the mRNA over time. No, not if your body's producing it, the bacteria in your body, and that's the game. They had to have, that was the missing piece in the triad. They had to have a way to replicate mRNA, to keep it going into your body's cells and setting up shop and producing spike protein through your cell. That's what they do. So this thing is so deadly. And I always hearken back to that CCP video that we ran once a long time ago where that guy was speaking Chinese to six other people on the screen. And he said, the Americans, don't worry. He said, every one of them who's taken a shot is done. They're going to die. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So what did he know? What did the communist Chinese know? I guarantee you they did not put it in their Sinovac. That was their version of the so-called vaccine to fight COVID. It's not there. So just keep in mind that the E. coli, just for example, and there may be other bacteria that these plasmids go right into, are the ones who are actually doing the work of replicating mRNA and spike. They are also, through these plasmids, they've conferred a resistance to virtually all antibiotics. So now all of a sudden you have an E. coli strain that is now bacterial resistant, I mean antibiotic resistant, and it's making mRNA and spike. So how are you going to get rid of it? Not with antibiotics. So this is
well, it was two in particular. You'd have to be come up with other antibiotics, as if antibiotic resistance isn't a problem already.
Oh, it's a joke. It's a joke.
But, you know, bacteria, you have trillions of bacteria that live in your digestive system and, on you and you, that perform a function.
7 pounds per adult of
bacteria. Yeah, there's more of them than there are of you.
Right.
And they share genetic material all the time.
Swap.
So they can swap genes. If there's selective pressure on one, they communicate with each other, and they will trade genetic material for their own advantage.
The E. coli
this
also...
This is not good.
No. Once the E. coli is infected with the plasmids, which basically take that E. coli over and, again, turn it into a factory to produce mRNA and spike at the very least, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Now, this can be, we think, part of the shedding process also. How much? I don't know. But you can't rule any of this out. If people are shedding spike and mRNA, why can't they be shedding this infested E. coli strain? Well, of course they can. An antibiotic-resistant E. coli strain.
Or any other strain of bacteria.
Any other that it happens to infest. Yes. This is so diabolically horrific, it defies description. It's just incredible. I still think personally, I'm not speaking for Eric, I think there's a real chance that there was some ET, let's just say consultation, in putting this thing, this horror together. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. It has so many traps, so many different ways, pathways of killing life. It's quite a stunning thing to comprehend. Once you get
this having this plasmid DNA in these vials, when you remember that alteration of the human microbiome is a known biowarfare tactic strategy.
Yep.
It looks less like a coincidence.
Oh, it's no, there are no more coincidences. Certainly not at this level. So was the CCP, the Chinese communist guy, right? Time will tell. We don't know. We hope not. But we do know that there have been very intelligent people who have posited that these shots give people, everyone who takes a shot, pericarditis or most likely myocarditis, which in turn will shorten their life expectancy down to about 5 or 6 years. That's it. So, not good. This is all so diabolically, satanically evil. And you're not going to see it covered on the Bolshevik Zionist mainstream media. You're not going to see it. You're not going to know how many people are dying. You will not know. However, most people now know at least one person who has been killed because of the shot. Most of you out there know probably more than one. And that's something to keep in mind as well. That's sad when you look at kids and children injected with this stuff. It's so horrific, truly horrific. All right, we've got a little video clip here. Tell us who we're going to see.
Oh, this was from Children's Health Defense last Friday. Meryl Nass had a roundtable with two other medical professionals, a Jonathan Gilthorpe out of, I believe, Sweden. And he is, an expert in genomics of sorts, genetics, and a Dr. Michael Palmer from Canada. And they're talking about, these disturbing findings now, this DNA contaminating the vaccine. We're assuming it's a contaminant, but remains to be seen.
We don't know. It's in there. Yeah.
And they gave a very, very good detailed summary of the significance of this.
Yeah. You can find that under our names and guests if you'd like to look at the video, study it a little bit more. Start at 45 minutes. That should be noted as well in there. Okay, let's take a listen to PhD Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe. Okay, and then Meryl Nass will come on.
In the vaccine, in a high degree of likelihood, into them without their knowledge. So what are the potential risks of this high DNA content that Dr. McKernan has found? So
that would be the plasmid idea, okay? That's what he's talking about.
The immediate risk relates to what Michael told you earlier. There could be a very harmful inflammatory response from the bacterial plasmid DNA when you get an injection of the vaccine. That's because the body isn't used to seeing bacterial DNA, and if it sees it, it thinks it's an infection. So there'll be a very immediate, very powerful immune response to that. The next problem is another potential problem, that plasmid DNA would then go into your cells in the nanoparticles, and it could lead to harmful immune response, long-term effects. The other thing, which is an unknown, is whether you make antibodies against this NeoR-CanR protein, which I mentioned. I mean, these, we never should make antibodies to these, but these genes are used in GMM foods, tomatoes, various vegetables, also some animals, because it's used to select cells used in the GMM process. So if you make antibodies to...
GMM meaning GMO, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Things, and then you start to eat GMM foods that also contain those proteins, it's very possible that you could have an immune sensitivity to those foods through this immune reaction, which wasn't accounted for. The other really serious problem, which is also, which is unlikely, but I mean, it will happen at some frequency, is that this DNA in the vaccines will integrate into the DNA of your cells. I'll just show this on one slide here. So in the top line, you have chromosomal DNA, that's the DNA in your cells. If you get a break in that and the plasmid DNA can then integrate into that, then that could lead to a mutation in genes in your body. And it could also then, if it happened in sperm or egg, in your ovaries or your testes,
all right, I don't know why it just stopped. It just did, though. If I can get it to start again. All right, any comment up to this point on that?
I think no. There's no.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Oh, that's why it stopped. He was done. There is a problem here. And the problem is, in all likelihood, you're going to be genetically, permanently modified by these shots. And there's no going back. You can't. You can't draw a warm bath and put pine needle tea in it and have your body return to its genetic pristine condition. There's no going back. Once you're genetically modified, you're modified. And that's the part that most people just don't understand. And these people are doing a good job explaining it. All right, so that was the end of his section, and the video froze up there. That's what happened. So let's go and see what Meryl Nass has to say about this.
And it could also...
Here's the end of Dr. Gilthorpe.
If it happened in sperm or egg, in your ovaries or your testes...
Okay, I'm going to have to advance it just a slight bit.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. So...
That's Meryl Nass talking, Dr. Nass.
Try to lay out a bit of what Jonathan said and then Michael, and we'll talk about it. So the bottom line is, if you're going to make a pharmaceutical product, according to the FDA, it's supposed to be pure. It is supposed to be potent, and it is supposed to be safe. And you have to prove at every step in your manufacturing process that you are checking it to make sure of all these things. And in particular for vaccines, because vaccine production is more complicated than for drugs, and vaccine products are not pure. They have multiple components, and they have contaminating products, because even though you purify them, you can't purify them 100%. So there's little bits of contaminants in all vaccines, and different kinds of products depending on, there are many different processes for making vaccines. They're not all the same. They're very different from each other in general.
In other words, the contaminants can vary from manufacturer to manufacturer. You don't know what the hell you're getting as a bonus to the spike, the mRNA and the plasmids and that mystery protein that Erica identified a long time ago. We don't know what's in there. We do know there's apparent garbage. And then we do know there are things that may not be garbage, but may be part of the entire operation that are supposed to be in there. There's no oversight of this. These aren't being monitored, like she's saying, every step of the way to ensure good quality control? Not happening. You trust Big Al Borla and Stefan Bonsell with your life? And remember, the average big store like a Rite Aid or a Walgreens is pumping out, at least on the average, 50 injections a day of the bivalent booster. And there is another booster apparently coming along. There always will be. But for right now, people who get that booster apparently are shedding to beat the band. It's big time for the first couple of weeks. So anybody you know who's gotten a shot, stay the hell away from them as much as you can.
So in this case,
come on, Meryl. Come on.
Normally the FDA has standards, and I thought I would compare the Novavax.
Isn't that a little amusing in and of itself? The FDA having standards?
Well, maybe they used to.
COVID vaccine, for example. The FDA has set a standard that the Nova vaccine, which has 5 micrograms of spike protein, but it's made in bacteria, as is, you know, the RNA made in bacteria. How much contaminant can it have? It has 5 micrograms of spike protein. It's allowed to have 1 microgram of bacterial and viral contaminating proteins in it, so 20%. But it also has DNA contaminants. So how much of that is it allowed to have? Well, it's only allowed to have 1/6 of a microgram. A 1/6 of a nanogram. In other words, about 1/1,000th as much DNA contamination as what Kevin McKernan has found in some lots of the COVID RNA vaccines, right? Now, as Michael Palmer said, we don't know how much DNA from bacteria or viruses or animals is okay to inject into you. Nobody really knows. But
so all the more reason to line up and roll up your sleeve. Nobody knows. Who owns the shots again for you newcomers out there? Who owns the shots? Not Pfizer. It's not Moderna. It's the Pentagon Department of Defense. This is a military weapon. End of story. It has nothing to do with vaccinating people to improve their health and immune function. Nothing.
We know that more of it is not, a little bit isn't a good thing, and more of it is worse. And when you inject it in the presence of the lipids that form lipid nanoparticles, you're basically putting a coat, an invisible coat on it that allows it to evade attack by the immune system and then get into cells, because the lipid nanoparticle can basically open up the cell membrane and allow the DNA to get in.
You see how diabolical this thing is? Everyone, I hope you do. This thing is so wicked. It's not even, you can't laugh at it. And it's not black humor. It's beyond that. This is diabolical genocide. That's what it is. Nothing else.
Let's go back to the beginning now. You know, what else might be in these vaccines? We're finding things because we know how to look for them.
And it's not graphene oxide. It's not hydrogels. It's not hydras. Okay? That's not what she's talking about.
May not have found everything that shouldn't be there that is there. For example, in other studies using other methods, you're finding what looks like dirt in the vaccines, and nobody knows what that is. So I'm now going to open it to Michael and Jonathan to comment.
Okay. Let's wrap up what she just said, I guess. Or do we want to hear some Dr. Palmer?
No, this is good enough for now. It's if you have the time, it's about 1 hour and 10 minutes, I think. It's worth watching, but it is technical. But it's a good explanation about, you know, what does this mean?
Is it really dirt in the vaccine that she's alluding to, or is it something like micro dots, nano micro dots that are supposed to be there? that look like dirt. We don't know. We
no.
do not know.
We knew early on that they were dirty. That was very clear. And that within the first month or two, when people were able to get their hands on these things and start to look at them,
right.
they were filthy.
Yeah, you made that point very clearly early on. Well, over 2 years ago. That was one of the first
right
things I
two years ago.
Us talking about was that the quality control was all of a sudden an issue. And it was kind of shocking because you'd think if they really were going to roll out a massive vaccination program that there would be some oversight and these things would be uniform or relatively speaking in their, we'll call it, biocleanliness. If this is really dirt in there, wow. I don't know that it is. We don't know. Nobody knows what it is. But it's identifiable. And no, these aren't filaments in live blood analysis looked at under a light microscope. This is real nano stuff. This is big time. This is genetics. So as far as a detox, boy, there's a lot of money being made by hucksters out there pushing all kinds of detox things, promising or hoping that you'll get back to normal. No, once you've been genetically screwed, you're screwed. And that's the truth. And it just doesn't matter what you do. You're changed. You're actually GMO property of the DOD and the Pentagram. Think about it. You are their property because you're now a different life form. And you elected to assume that. So when you hear people rambling on about graphene oxide and hydrogels and all that, no. That's misdirection, misinformation, or stupidity, or ignorance, or whatever. Give them a break. They've misunderstood a lot of things. I don't know. But it's a real jungle out there in terms of trying to glean the reality of what we're dealing with from all the noise. There's so much noise out there now. Jeez.
There sure is. You know, very few people that are in the public eye these days that are promoting, cures or detoxes understand how to deal with this rogue mRNA.
They don't know.
That's causing the problem.
They don't know. They don't know. They're not even conversant on it.
No, they're not. And their answer is to say, well, it's not really in there. No, nobody found it. Yes, they have found it repeatedly. And it's viable to some degree because people are dying with the spike protein saturating various organs and tissues.
From head to foot, think about it. And when what we know, the war on human reproduction is one of the prime directives of this death shot. We know that. And what Dr. Burkhardt found in Germany locked it up. No more sperm in testes. Only wall-to-wall spike. That's what he found. You're done. You're sterilized. And women destroyed. How many women destroyed? Good God. 16-year-old girls now with uterine cancers.
Hey, I just saw another one today. It's heartbreaking.
See, these kids are never going to... I can't say they'll never recover. I doubt if most of them are going to recover. They get cancer. Their immune system is wrecked from the shot itself. They have very little competence anymore. And the door is wide open for anything they come into contact with to take up residence and proliferate in their AIDS-ridden bodies, which is what they have. So, not good. All right. Anything else? Or I'm going to play John O'Looney now.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Today, I've got a story going up in headlines. Let me see if I can find it real quick just to make a point. The title of this piece is... thanks for sending that legacy of Fox News. That was funny. I should maybe read that too. why are so many COVID authoritarians, can you spell Fauci, suddenly shifting their lying narratives? And they are. They're trying to wiggle out from things that they've done and said in the past. And these people are just wretchedly evil. Here's John O'Looney, the world famous now, and not that he's after fame, funeral director in Britain. He's had it. And we played some John O'Looney a month or so ago. And here's a little short clip that he's made. And he's just finished with all the lies and the satanic monsters that somehow are being put into positions of authority and influence.
Morning up, just out walking the dog. What a beautiful day, bird song and sunshine. So, as regards the suspension stroke ban from Twitter, apparently it's for hate, because I'm calling for capital punishment for Soros and Gates and Fauci, and I stand by those words. These people have orchestrated the mass cull of children and babies and innocent people. And I won't pull any punches. I'd like to see these people taken to Nuremberg, convicted, and given the appropriate sentence. And the appropriate sentence for me is a noose. I want to see them hung. So I'm afraid if that's a hate crime, so be it. But when you spend your days placing youngsters into coffins, and you see the misery that their genocidal plan and the death that their genocidal plan has created, I make no bones. I would like to see them receive the appropriate sentence for the crimes against humanity. And that appropriate sentence is, to my mind, capital punishment. Take care, guys, and God bless.
John is not alone in his feelings. I would imagine most reasonable people would feel the same way if they had the data he has and if they have been through what he is going through on a virtually daily basis, picking up the bodies of little children who have been destroyed by these injections, given to them usually with the blessing and encouragement, if not demand, of their parents. He's tired of it. He's tired of seeing young people dead. He's tired of seeing people with their lives ahead of them just annihilated. These are dead. This is a holocaust of immeasurable dimension and dynamics. This is a real holocaust of horror and death. And John's done with it. A lot of people feel the same way. I am not convinced for a moment that these bastards are going to get any kind of comeuppance for what they've done. I just don't see it.
No.
They're in the bosom of the control matrix, and they're safe. I mean, have the Clintons ever been charged with anything? George Bush Jr. of the massacre of Iraq? No. No, there's no accountability for these people. They're above all laws and answerable to no one. They know it. So don't expect Biden, the Biden crime syndicate, with Hunter and what's his brother's name, Jim, I can't remember, the brother of the creeper. These people are all, if it were you or I, we'd probably get 500 years in prison for what they've done. There's no accountability. We have no government. This is not a government of, by, and for anybody except the elite. It's their government. We've been overthrown here. That doesn't mean give up. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's over. We have no government. No, 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 the Congress is not going to come to your rescue or mine. They're all corrupted. And if they don't play ball, they're dead. They kill people all the time. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us go and see what's happening on our COVID Chronicles of Human Horror that is just all over the place. We've got some new readers to do, so let's go and check that. I don't know. I don't know. All right. Oh, you collected a bunch. Thank you. Good work.
It's busy out there.
Well, yeah, speaking about busy, the paramedic channels, I don't know how it is in your town, but where Erica lives, is they have been running all day long. What are the common calls? What are you getting? I heard one or two on your phone earlier, and one was for a fall, and one was for, what was the other one? A seizure? I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, well, the thing that's striking is the calls are for younger people now. And by young, I mean young adults, 30s, maybe 40s, whereas up until recently, it was tended to be mostly older, 70s, 80s. And there's still some of those, but now the number of calls for younger people is really becoming concerning. And it's back to back. They had at least three going today, three paramedic units going, and then they had to call in a private.
Wow!
And I can hear their voices. These guys are tired. I mean, they are running all day.
Right. Right. So if you're listening in your town, what? How do we tell people who might want to do that? It's pretty, you can do it online. It's easy.
There's probably more than one, but the one I'm using is called Broadcastify.
Broadcastify, that's it.
Right. And you just go in and you select your area of the country and then narrow it down by city or town.
And you can hear the dispatches back and forth, the talk. And it's quite a scene. Okay, Broadcastify. There you go. So what do we have here? We've got in the middle of the group, we've got shedding exposure. We've got shedding at the top, reaction to shedding. We go back to shedding because this is the, we think, people who have taken the shots are genetically changed. Their fate is fairly well sealed in many cases. So it's the 15% who have not been injected, who these stories are perhaps most applicable to, and that's the group we have to try to save, I think, as much as we can. And then to turn it around, though, our vax listener friends, they need to be very careful about being around the unvaxxed because their immune systems have been wrecked. They've got AIDS, and they don't want to be around people who are unvaxxed who are carrying a normal complement of pathogenicity. They just don't want to be around that. It's not smart. Okay.
No, and the question is a common question that still is asked is how come the vaxxed appear normal and yet they can make other people almost deathly ill? Now, it could be like the analogy with the poison dart frog. They're producing the spike, but they are neutralizing it within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not getting sick. The other possibility is they're carriers of the actual virus now. We know that these people can carry it asymptomatically. They can be infected and replicating the virus at fairly high levels and yet not show any symptoms.
You know what I wish? I wish we had a real, honest-to-God count of how many actual viral infections, COVID, Omicron, variants, whatever. How many actual COVID viral infections we're seeing now? We won't get a straight answer from anybody. All we can do is try to project from the data that we get.
And now, the PCR test, which was their gold standard, the swab up the nose, is not very reliable because the virus is now taking up residence in the gastrointestinal tract. So we may not even be harboring in the sinuses or the lungs. Exactly. You know, it's going to depend. And so that's why the Chinese went to these anal swabs at one point.
Well, when you think about how the plasmid goes right after bacteria to set up shop, that was the missing link all along. We just didn't know that. Erica suspected that very early, that the microbiome...
Well, the virus can do that. I mean, the virus can replicate in bacterial cells.
Right.
And when it does that, it produces, well, in some cases, these venom-like peptides that can enter into a person's circulation and cause neurological issues or clotting issues.
And just don't forget, though, from head to foot, from nose to toe, if you've been injected, and even if you haven't, if you've been shed upon routinely, you are building microclotting damage profiles in your major organs and, your entire biophysiology. You are microclotting, and that kills cells, and that leads to larger clots, okay? And then we have the issue of tipping over proteins that no longer, they're misfolded. And what do? They aggregate, and they start building bigger clots. It's just, it's really diabolical, this thing. Incredibly so. All right, where do you want to start?
You pick.
No, don't put that on me. Just sitting here minding my own business. All right.
How about shedding from a party?
That's the one I just was going to pick. Can't you do anything on your own? That's the one I looked at right now. I said, that's it.
Everyone likes a party.
She's always trying to upstage me. All right, let's see here. Okay. The only thing I've found is to stay as far away from the shedders as possible. You can take things, three vaccinated people in a larger living room full of 15 to 20 people is too much shedding. Three vaxxed people in a living room full of 15 to 20 people is too much shedding. I was at a birthday party last evening where this was indeed the case. About 10 minutes into the party, sitting about 12 feet away from them, I started feeling shortness of breath, like my lungs were catching on the incoming air. By 15 minutes into the gathering, a familiar bitter taste came into my saliva. Since by experience, this means I am definitely getting poisons into my system that I will feel the effects of later and not like, I got up and went into the hall and held my grandbaby and walked around out there. Then I left early. The shedding affects my nerves, so my legs hurt even as I was walking away. Go ahead.
If 10% of a crowd, say at a church or concert, took the shots, the other 90% just breathed extremely toxic fumes into their system from the outgassing. Now their liver is forced to deal with it. But what if it's compromised and can't? Usually, even with less sensitive people, the person will feel it the following day, kind of fatigued, only they do not connect it to this. I'm often showing my clients the pattern. Go to church on Sunday and feel fatigued on Monday. It takes a lot of patience to get people to see this connection because they are resisting the thought. They want so bad to get back to the way it was before all of this. It's like someone snapping and saying, "Don't tell me I should not go to church." It's funny because I'm not telling them they should not do anything. I'm just pointing out the pattern. They come to the logical conclusion on their own.
So, another example, it doesn't take many who are shedding to trigger reactions in certain people. Not everyone is as sensitive necessarily as this lady. It doesn't mean things aren't happening to you if you don't feel anything. We don't know. But some people are very sensitized to spike and maybe mRNA and maybe other things we're not even thinking about. But they do definitely pay the price. Okay. Shedding at a party. All right. Let's see if we go ahead. Pick the next one.
Okay. This same one wrote a comment about burning mouth from shedding.
All right. Where's that?
I
see it. Burning mouth.
This is in response. Does anyone know if the vaccinated get burning mouth syndrome? This person says, "I do not know about the vaxxed getting burning mouth syndrome, but I do know the unvaxxed can get burning mouth syndrome from shedding. For me, the burning started at the tip of my tongue as I was working with clients, at first from the vaccinated and then from what I call the toxic unvaxxed. The tip of the tongue burning occurred repeatedly until my entire tongue was burning, and eventually it became burning mouth syndrome. Shedding is an amalgamation of all chemicals in the person's system. They are poofing them off in a cloud. When this chemical cocktail is inhaled, the nerves are set on fire, in some of us at least. Burning mouth shows that the nerves in general are not very happy, which neuropathy in general is a symptom of shedding. Burning tongue, mouth can also show that B vitamins, especially B12, need to be dramatically increased to help the nerves remyelinate, and also use of alpha-lipoic acid to help regenerate the nerves.
Does ALA work?
Yes. Yes, you can actually regenerate an entire liver with ALA.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
ALA is very important to maintain the balance between NAD plus and NADH. And I go back to this deficiency of NAD, that this is really, really critical. People are losing their supply of NAD. And NAD is just, it's the coenzyme of niacin. It's the activated form of niacin. And it's got to be replaced. I mean, people are really becoming depleted in it, and that's when all these problems start. Because when you don't have NAD, you can't detoxify. You just won't. You can't maintain a redox balance, you cannot repair your DNA, and you can't make energy.
That's all, huh?
That's it.
Jeez. All right. Pick another one here. Smells? Do we want to do any more smells?
Sure.
All right. In which country is all this vaxxed people giving off horrible odors occurring? We're in the UK, and none of the vaxxed we've come across smell of anything unusual. And somebody from the U.S. responds, I smelled it on some people in Bangalore last year. Haven't been smelling recently, but I try not to linger about near any strangers or those I know who have been jabbed. Another person adds, I'm usually very sensitive to smells, but I'm not picking up anything. And a response, you pick it up if they haven't showered. I think that's maybe possibly being a little facetious. I don't know. Anyway, so the smell issue touched upon by these couple of people is a big one. Don't think there's something missing if you're not smelling it. It's out there. This is another whole program we need to do at some point on smells, but it is something constantly reported by people, and it does seem in some cases that they're almost overdoing it, but they're not. They are smelling it. I was very skeptical. I smelled it 3 times now, and it's not pleasant, and it's
There are different smells. I mean, you've got the rotting smell, but then you've also got the laundry detergent smell. And then there, by all accounts, is also formaldehyde in the mix, which may or may not smell, but that will give a burning sensation in the airways, and it will make the eyes sting.
Now, I had the bad cologne smell and then 2 of the putrescence smells so far.
And I suspect that some of these people who are extremely sensitive to this, and particularly these laundry detergent dryer sheet smells, may have been sensitized to aldehydes. Right. I mean, that would account for why one person is reacting violently to the smell and another person either doesn't smell it or is not reacting to it. The problem, I mean, the person smelling it with it, or having the problem with it, may be compromised in terms of their ability to detoxify aldehydes, which, again, that points to another deficiency in the B vitamins and NAD, NADPH. I mean, that's the coenzyme needed to run that detox pathway.
Okay, there were a couple of things you sent me earlier. Do we want to read any of those?
I think I've included them here, at least one.
Well, we'll get to them then. All right, we have room for one.
How about
more
alcohol
here.
Intolerance?
Go to it. I don't know where it is. Go ahead. Oh, there it is, for number 1. I see. Yeah.
And and again, this is pointing to, you know, blocked detox pathways. Something I've noticed is that drugs that increase the oxygen demands of your body seem to make the effects from shedding worse. Cannabis or alcohol definitely make the effects from shedding worse for me. When I hang out with my vax friends while sober, I don't really have a problem. But if I start smoking cannabis with them, I start to feel the shedding. Same thing with alcohol. I went out to dinner with my vax and boosted parents, and I was definitely being shed on at close proximity, but I didn't feel any effects from it until I started drinking after dinner. As soon as I took a few sips of alcohol, everything changed. I started feeling really crappy. Something to keep in mind. And someone says, my friends who are vaccinated get really sick from alcohol now, or their heart starts to race. I get unwell when I'm around them too long, and I am unvaxxed. this person says, never smoke after anyone. I start getting burns on my face if I smoke after my sister, and she's vaxxed. Also, alcohol is intense because your immune cells are spliced open, leaving your body susceptible to flare-up, so hot and red everywhere. It's an alcohol dehydrogenase deficiency and an aldehyde dehydrogenase deficiency, both of which are require NAD to run on.
All right.
The niacin's critical these days.
Yeah. That's the flush version.
Yes, the flush version.
Nicotinic acid.
Right.
Remember that. Okay, young lady, that's about it for tonight. And just always remember, they who created this horror, with or without help from off-planet sources, are monstrously running this planet into hell on Earth. All digital currency, complete control of your lives. The 15-minute cities are nothing more than putting people into enclosures so they can easily shut them down and order them to stay indoors, turn off their digital money, and it's over. It's over. That's where they're going with this. I think many of you know this already. You're the best audience in talk radio. So just keep in mind that sadly, those who don't want to hear it aren't really worth wasting your energy. It's just not going to do anything. If they're open to it, help them. If not, walk on. Find somebody who will listen. All right, kiddo.
All right.
You have my permission to eat my hot fudge sundae, or part of it.
Okay. I'll have it for breakfast.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Right. Okay, gang. We'll be right back. Big story coming up next with Mitchell Henderson regarding Ukraine. Stay with us.